Sofia Coppola's making the Little Mermaid movie.
Yes, I heard it. It's really
animated? Cool. No, live action. They're gonna do it from like the original story, like, you know, like Little Mermaid's going to die at the end.
Yeah.
It's not the Disney story. A happy one.
There was I think it was a German live action movie from the 60s or something. And that was really good. So I'm kind of,
yeah, and like the people who wrote 50 Shades and Shame are like the people who wrote the script.
Oh. I didn't know they were the same people.
Shame, the Fassbender movie.
So
for 50 Shades too?
Yeah, like no, like one writer from 50 Shades and one writer from Shame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Them together wrote this. Yeah, and like Joe Wright was going to direct it, but he's making Pan. Mm-hmm. So now Sofia Coppola is making this. I'm really excited. I think she can like do something really cool with it.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
And like Elle Fanning, I'm actually hoping she discovers like a new actress from somewhere for this. Like instead of someone already connected to her work or something, because Elle Fanning's already been like, what's her face, Aurora. So I don't think, and I think Emma Watson's going to be in Guillermo del Toro's Beauty and Beast whenever the hell that comes out. So yeah, I don't know. I hope like she discovers someone new and cool, like one of those women in his in her movies.
Yeah,
for the role. Welcome to Visitors from Across the Universe. You are listening to the Across the Universe podcast brought to you by the Chicks with Accents. I am Nick from India and I run the blog Being Normal Jean, and I'll be hosting today's episode. Joining me are my fellow chicks, Sofia, who runs Filmflare and is from Portugal.
Hola.
And Matt, whose blog is called Lime Reviews and Strawberry Confessions and is from Germany/Denmark.
Moin moin.
In today's episode, we will be talking about a movie chosen by you, our listeners, and that movie is Belle de Jour. Before that, though, we will all talk about our interesting movie of the fortnight. So come back after listening to this trailer by a fellow Lampart Podcasting Network show.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
MovieMavericks.com, broadcasting current box office breakdowns, movie news, and reviews. Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
Hey now, even though we're over 200 episodes deep into the Movie Mavericks podcast, it's still not too late to start listening.
Where every show we give you 10 truths, 20 lies, and a bunch of Hollywood secrets.
It's like existentialism slipping into nihilism.
MovieMavericks.com.
The interesting movie of the fortnight feature is one in which all of us talk about any movie that we have seen in the last 2 weeks since our last episode that we think is interesting for any particular reason. Since I'm the host, I shall begin. The movie I wanted to talk about is Fargo. By the Coen brothers, starring Frances McDormand, William H. Macy, and Steve Buscemi. The film, if for the people who haven't watched it, it's about a guy who hires two thugs, one of whom is played by Buscemi, to kidnap his wife because he wants his father-in-law to pay ransom money with which he would then set up a business. But then all of this goes horribly wrong and people end up dead. And then police inspector, played by Frances McDormand, she's very pregnant, like this really pregnant in the movie, and she's brought onto the case, and then like we see like how she solves it. And I had watched Fargo a long time back. I don't know, I think like when I was like 15 or 16 or something, and I literally only remember like all the snow in the movie and like this particular like murder scene at the end. And like Steve Buscemi digging something, and just like Frances McDormand's accent, like the way she says "yeah" in the movie. Okay, That's all I remember. I didn't even remember like the whole kidnapping the wife plot, none of that. But they're making the new Fargo series, which stars Martin Freeman. And I wanted to rewatch it anyways. So that's why I rewatched it. And I'm very happy that I did, because originally I do remember that I didn't love it when I had watched it. I liked Frances McDormand and stuff, but it didn't really impact me that much when I seen it. But rewatching it this time, I was completely like blown away. It's because of like, obviously it's there's the look of it. It's by Deakins. It's very, very gorgeous. It's some scenes are like so like it's like looks like it's been painted on. But mostly it's the story. It's like it's these like two. It's like how the movie seamlessly blends together really horrific violence and like super mundane humor. And I guess that's how like life is. Like there are like horrible things which are always going on, but for most of us, you know, we just have our everyday lives and we go on with it, and there's just like stupid things which we do and we say. And I think the movie shows that in this really like amazing natural way. And I also really love the character that Frances McDormand plays, because she's like an everyday hero. You know, she's not like some chosen one who is destined to do something, which is how we usually think of as heroes. And she's not like making some inspiring speech somewhere. But she's just like this very ordinary policewoman who is very efficient at her job. But she is very normal, but she, you know, so she's like an everyday hero. And like all she has to say at the end, she tells like one of the guys, like, you know, like all of it was just for a little bit of money, which is like as, I know, it's as inspiring as all those like massive speeches that all the other heroes are supposed to make. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't seen this.
No, sure. Me neither.
I think both of you will like it.
Yeah. I don't know why. I just, maybe I saw like bits of the trailer and didn't feel like it was going to be fun. Is it fun?
It's like, it's a very strange kind of fun. It's not really, it's like, you know, like they just, there's like a scene where like, you know, someone has just died, but then they go and like, they try to find out about the murder, and this guy who's giving them direction is literally going like, and then he said, and then she said, and then he said. Okay, so it's kind of like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of a fun. So
I did want to watch it, but just never got around.
And even like the TV show, I'm really excited, because while I was watching the movie, Martin Freeman's playing the William H. Macy character.
Oh, who's
like this bumbling fool. And I'm watching it and I'm like, Martin Freeman will be so great in this. Because Martin Freeman's like the one of the best like everyman actors we have.
Yeah.
So I can just imagine how good he's going to be.
Okay.
Well, when does it start, the show?
I'm not sure. It should start like this season. Like the new shows which are starting this spring season or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I think it's sometime at that time.
That's good. Anyone else in the show?
Billy Bob Thornton is playing the Steve Buscemi character.
It's cool.
Yeah, and I don't know who the chick is, but yeah.
Ben.
Okay, Sophia.
So I'm sure you've seen the the Kevin Bacon thing on Jimmy Fallon. So I heard that there was a 2011 version of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, it sounds awful, you know, like a bad remake. But I watched it anyway, because I think these movies are fun. And it was better than I expected, actually. So I wanted to kind of recommend it to anyone who, like, Matt, you like High School Musical, I'm sure you're going to like this.
Oh. What is the name again?
It's
Footloose.
I've never seen Footloose.
No?
I've never seen it properly.
Neither one of them.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen it. I like it. But I somehow don't remember the plot very well, you know, like the story itself. So while I was watching this movie, I wasn't sure if it was a direct adaptation, like a remake. Complete remake, like not scene by scene, but at least the major plot points.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the premise is the same. It's a new guy comes into town, and this little town, they had a 3 years back, they had an accident in which a bunch of teenagers died in a car crash because they've been drinking and dancing. So they passed a law that prohibits dancing. And he's like, well, what was that? It's not conceivable. So his mission is sort of to not only adapt, you know, in this new town, but also to kind of abolish this law. So it's about dancing and just, it's fun. And I think, I don't know, the movie has some really fun moments, like funny moments, really. And in the end, they have this, you've seen it, Nick, the original one?
I've seen the dance. I've seen, like, I love the song.
Okay, so you know the dance scene is with the red suit and they're dancing. Yeah, they kind of do the same thing in the end. It's kind of a celebration of Footloose. So I feel like it's well-intended, you know. Okay. It's a nice thing. So I like that. And it has Julianne.
Huff,
yeah, who was in that other movie. The one I've seen in, like, Rock of Ages. Yeah, I like her. She has possibly blue eyes. It's like, I don't know if that's contacts or, I don't know, it's just, they're so blue. They feel fake. It's too beautiful, so beautiful. And the guy really can dance. So good.
Okay.
It's a fun movie, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds fun. I've heard the new one has been recommended to me by a friend already, so.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel like because it's set in modern times, okay? It's not in the 80s.
Mm.
So it kind of makes you wish there were things like this, like places where people would really dance.
Yeah.
You know, not just clubs and like shaking to the sound of some beat like boom ba-doom ba-doom.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Just like good music and just fun. People go there, have fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Matt?
I watched a lot. I watched actually all of the Muppet movies this whole week. So
all of them.
Except for the new one.
I've only seen the 2011 one and the new one.
They're very good, but you can hear about that in an upcoming Lambcast. So the only other movie that was new to me that I saw since last time is a very mediocre movie. It's the third Narnia movie, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. From 2010. I've never really understood Narnia, but I remember liking the first movie kind of.
Yeah, I really love the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, when you're in that age, and it has some good actors, it has Tilda Swinton and James McAvoy.
I didn't remember.
Mr. Dumbness! No. Oh my god.
It's very cute. I don't remember if I've seen Prince Caspian, but I do think so. I've just forgotten about that. So, yeah, the third one was on TV when I was I watched it with my family. And it's just, it has some good sides, it has some bad sides. It's about not about all the Narnia people, but just two of them, Lucy and Edmund, like, falling into this picture to get into Narnia because they have some kind of destiny or fate they have to do something there. And accidentally they take their cousin Eustace with them, who's really weird. And the actress, I mean, I really like the actor. He's called Will Poulter and he's going to be in the upcoming Maze Runner.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
He won like the BAFTA Rising Star Award, and there was Lupita Nyong'o and like Lea Seydoux amongst the nominees.
Wow.
Which is just insane. Yeah.
But he's very good. I mean, he's seems a lot like an adult. He has this crazy voice that's just very, very adult. And I really liked him. Of course, his character is a bit over the top, but overall, he was really good. Prince Caspian is very hot.
Ben Barnes, right?
Yeah.
He's in that movie too?
Yeah.
not that much, but he is in there. Tilda Swinton has a very brief appearance, but it's not really that really good. So, Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, she, McAvoy?
No, again? McAvoy is not there, no. They're basically, they're just on the water all the time, and then they're on some kind of island. And I don't know, I've always liked the other girl, Susan, so I was kind of disappointed that she wasn't in there. And it addresses some important problems, like Lucy doesn't feel content with her looks, and like she wants to be Susan all the time. But then they just don't really handle these problems. They just, you know, she just realizes that she's pretty and blah. And they find whatever they have to find, and Eustace gets turned into a dragon and turns into a really nice person. So it's a meh movie for me. I guess fans will like it. It's not bad, but really good. Don't turn away. It's a Molotov, like a shotgun. Needs an outcome. I'm your prostitute. You gon' get some. Like a shotgun. Needs an outcome. I'm your prostitute.
For our main discussion in this episode, we did not know what to talk about. None of us have seen Captain America yet, or anything that has come out elsewhere. So instead, we decided to look at movies that, older movies that neither of us had seen but really wanted to see. And we chose a few of them, and then we threw it out to the public to decide which one of them do they want us to talk about. The options were M, The Man Who Wasn't There, Blowout, Elephant Man, The Night of the Hunter, and Belle du Jour. Belle du Jour, which was the front runner from the start, won, and so here we are. And I hope you guys like it, because, you know, you asked for it. Okay, so first a little background. Belle du Jour is a 1967 French film directed by Louis Buñuel, starring Catherine Deneuve, Jean Sorel, and Michel Piccoli. It is based on a novel of the same name by Joseph Kessel. In the movie, Deneuve plays a young wife called Severine, who, though in love with her husband Pierre, can't seem to get intimate with him. But we find out that in spite of this outer, cold exterior, she has like a very rich and a bit kinky fantasy life. And both of them, they're friends with a couple, and the guy in the couple, this man called Husson, is always kind of sleazy towards her, and she seems to be put off by it. And she then finds out that one of her other friends has been working as a prostitute, and this awakens the curiosity in her. And when she talks to Husson about it, he gives her this address of a high-end brothel. And Severin, like, she's still very curious, and she goes there, and then she starts working there as a daytime prostitute, and she's given the name Belle du Jour, which means Lady of the Day. And I think we'll stop here, though we're probably going to spoil the movie eventually at some point in this episode. What did you guys think?
I really liked it, though it was a little confusing at times. I mean, in the beginning, I wasn't sure if it was a fantasy or reality right from the beginning. I mean, I felt like from the start, I was immediately a bit shocked. Like, I wasn't expecting this to be like that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although it doesn't go much further than that, but I thought that was kind of awakening. That was my first impression. I don't know.
And Matt?
Yeah, I was kind of expecting it to be confusing, so that was not that surprising, because it's Buñuel, of course.
Yeah.
And my first impression is just that Catherine Deneuve is just a goddess. She's so beautiful in this.
She's like alien-like.
Yeah.
She is.
And then
I didn't know that it was by Buñuel, so I was like happily sitting down, and I'm like, oh shit. because my other two experiences with him have not been that great. Like, have you guys read the novel 1984?
Not yet.
No. No, yeah. But basically, there's a thing in it called Room 101, in which you're basically like the people from Big Brother. They like torture you, and they fill it up with whatever you fear the most to like break you. Right. Yeah. I'm fairly certain my 101 will have like Unchin Andalu, whatever the hell you pronounce it, like playing on loop, because I'm
that
like
is very
the movie
weird.
Just makes me nuts. It's so weird. So yeah, but like compared to the other two movies that I've seen of his, this was very normal. So I was very relieved.
Yeah, yeah. I have seen L'Âge d'Or as well, which is kind of like Un Chien Andalou. It's just maybe a bit more normal. It's I liked it a bit more than that, but it's still very surreal. So this is one.
Right.
It was kind of surprising that it was that normal, actually.
Oh, but I've never seen a Buñuel film, so
yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I was getting into. I didn't even see a trailer or read the synopsis. Just nothing. I knew there was Catherine Deneuve and she's slightly naked. And that's it.
I did know the plot kind of in just what you can read on IMDb, but
yeah,
nothing else.
Yeah. So what else? I mean, the themes. I think, Vern, you've already talked about the fantasies and the eroticism in the film and all the sexual.
I didn't immediately get that it was like a fantasy thing.
No, me neither.
It took me a while to get that. And then the weirdest thing is, like, you know, like throughout most of the movie, I kept thinking how weird men are, like all their weird fetishes and stuff.
But then
ultimately it's like all of it is like Severin's fetish, you know?
Yeah.
It is.
So yeah, that was like an interesting realization during the movie.
I think I realized the first time she's with that Chinese man.
Yeah.
Well, that is weird.
The maid comes in.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, the maid was kind of preoccupied, like, oh, it hurts a little. She didn't look sad in
a
way.
She looked very content.
When she lifted her head, she didn't know no tears. There was nothing. I thought, oh, I see where this is going. You know? That's when I realized.
It's very interesting because she, Severine, she talks about, you know, sex and men and all these things. She talks about, like, she doesn't, like, she's very, she pretends to dislike it and to not understand it at all. And when she talks about her friend or whatever, the other girl that's also a prostitute, she says things like, I don't understand it, and how can she do this?
Yeah.
So she's very, she has this she has this surface life and then her dreams and fantasies.
I think it's a lot about, like, appearances and what lies beneath. Like, that was interesting. One of the things which I kept thinking about is, like, after I saw it today only, and it's like how, you know, in today's world, it's like the whole 50 Shades of Grey thing. You know, like, it's literally, like, it's being sold on, like, every freaking street corner, okay? And, like, things like mommy porn and stuff, and how this sort of relates to it, right? Like, we have, like, these normal lives, and then we read weird shit like that. So, I don't know. I thought that had, like, a cool connection to it. Like, now, like, obviously, we're more, relatively more accepting of people being slightly weird.
But it's still shocking. I mean, when she sleeps or whatever she does with that guy in the coffin.
Yeah.
Oh, right. But I was laughing. This is true.
I know.
That was some really weird shit.
And did any of you understand the cat references that they have?
Oh, right.
I didn't get that.
It's apparently one of all fetishes. Something to do with cat noises. It is.
But I only noticed it in the last scene.
Yeah, me too.
So I was trying to remember if they had a cat. I don't think they have a cat. But yeah, it has to do with some fetish or something. Yeah.
Okay.
I read that.
Just like, you know, the Chinese dude had that bee thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was so, like, I don't know, all sorts of, like, ideas were going through my head.
And I was scared.
Yeah.
I was scared.
He was very weird, and I felt very sorry for the little girl that lives there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just, keeping on wondering what will happen to her.
That was interesting. Yeah. That element of the girl was interesting. It was, like, nothing else in the movie, you know, felt like kind of out of place, but
a bit.
It's almost like morality in the room, like a little girl, and he's like almost taking advantage, but he's like touching her already, thinking that. I was really shocked when one of them asked when she would be ready.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, okay.
So I was also wondering, Was prostitution banned in France at that time? Because they kind of talk about that it's different than after the war, and and that they do it in this weird flat.
And she was always closing the curtains and
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's not.
But since you've seen,
it's fine.
I was asking, since you've seen other Buñuel movies, because I've read that he has this feet fetish and shoes, and I noticed her shoes and feet all the time, because he was always showing them in that scene in the stairs.
Yeah.
Did you notice that in other movies as well?
But not in Ancient and the Lou, obviously, but I have seen the what was it? The something life of the bourgeoisie. The discreet charm of the bourgeoisie. But yeah, I don't remember that very well.
No.
So yeah.
I thought it was like a leg fetishism, because I was more focused on the legs than the feet, but
I read that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, I was just thinking, oh, those are really nice shoes.
We talk about, like, the clothes, right?
Yes,
They're great.
They're so beautiful.
I love them.
Yeah.
And, okay, what else? On the poll, I think Sophia is going to start talking about this. On the poll page, Vaughn had written about how we think it's like an independence of female sexuality, or like it's like from a really misogynistic movie. I don't think it's a misogynistic movie. I just think it's like set in a misogynistic world.
Yeah.
So I don't like prostitution. You can't. It is as that guy says. It's the world's oldest profession. You can't exactly fight it to get over. It's not just, you know, maximum you can do is like stop degrading people. So it's kind of, I didn't find that. And like the whole sexuality thing, like I've like recently watched movies like Nymphomaniac and stuff. I think I've become like desensitized to sex and violence now. So I really think so.
Yeah.
So I didn't really find any of that. I liked it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Me neither. And most of the things that are misogynist come from herself. Like, the most violent things against women are her own fantasies, so...
Yeah, and she is, like, a housewife, I mean, and she decides to work and live her fantasies, so I think it's more of a liberating kind of theme, but...
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's something else I've written. Anything else?
I was gonna ask you...
Yeah, same.
Okay. What did you think about Marcel?
I don't like him. At first I thought, oh, that guy's cute.
Exactly. Then he opened his mouth.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh. But,
and the socks. The holes in his socks.
Yeah. He's so weird. And that stick he has with him is just so intimidating. Like, I was really afraid of him.
It is.
So
she was completely attracted by that
Yeah.
dirtiness, like literal dirt.
He was like the embodiment of like all of her fetishes.
Yeah.
I think so too. I mean, when he broke that thing on the wall,
yeah,
she smiles faintly like, oh, yeah. It's the little things, right? I mean, in this movie, it's like the little expressions in her face that give it away. I think
Even when she smiles at the end, you know?
I didn't.
All right.
I didn't really get the ending.
I think she's just completely, you know, resigned herself to her fantasy life. That's what I thought.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I got too. Yeah, but you think the fantasy starts from the minute like he's crying, and then after that,
I think it starts from the moment she starts smiling.
Yeah, and she gets up and goes, starts hearing things like the cat and the bell.
Yeah,
and she goes again into that fantasy life. Yeah, that's what I took away from it as well.
Yeah, and
I don't see how he went blind. Like, was he shot in the eye? Because
it must be something to do with the spinal cord. I don't know.
Yeah.
The eye?
Or the nerves. I don't know. Maybe something.
No idea.
Maybe he fell on his eyes.
Fell on his eyes.
Someone fell.
Back to Catherine Deneuve. What did you think? Like her acting and stuff.
I really liked her acting. I guess you could see it as, in the beginning it's hard to say if she's wooden or if it's the role, but I think you soon realize that it's really the role, that she's very reserved and cold.
It's very interesting. And it's so subtle, like the way she changes. Because, like, by the end, like you know, like, in the beginning, I forgot the name, the chick who runs the brothel, she kisses her, and then in the end, she tries to kiss her when she's sleeping.
That's probably my favorite scene, because it's
so provocative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's very, I don't know, you don't really expect it, and it's perfect timing when she kisses her, and then she turns away.
I as weird as like the coffin thing was, not in the coffin, but I just found it very cool. Like one thing is like how in this movie, like how nudity is treated.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, you know, like the whole the black thing, the black see through cloth thingy that she wears, and it is sexy, but it's not like lewd.
Mm.
And I really like that. I don't know.
It's more like erotic than sexy.
Yeah, exactly. And they covered her body when she... I was afraid because you see her ass from the back.
Yeah.
And from the front, it's completely covered in a very way. Without feeling that it needed to be covered, you know, it's like...
Mm.
Yeah. I like those things about the movie.
Yeah.
I did too. But did you read how she didn't know that they were going to show that much? It was on that criterion.
No.
Okay, no, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, I think she didn't know. She felt a little bad afterwards. But...
Oh.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because it's the 60s. I mean, okay, it's France, but so...
You see it pretty much. You see a lot. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
And when she's looking through the hole, that was a really good scene too.
Yeah, that's the image they use in like most of like whenever they talk about this movie, like it's always that image. I noticed that.
The only one I had seen was the one where she has her back turned to the camera.
Yeah, that also.
And where she sits in the car, and I think it's the first time she hears about this prostitution thing. Mm. And you can see her, like, thinking about it or dreaming about it. I don't know.
That was one of the... Another thing it reminded me of is one of the movies I saw in the film festival last year. It's called Young and Beautiful, and it was by Francois Ozon.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. Have you guys watched it?
No.
I heard of it.
Oh, no, Matt, what did you say? Yes or no?
I just heard of it too.
Okay, sorry. Over here, you know, there's like much more at play, but or different things at play. In that also, it's like about like a 17-year-old girl who has like a very normal high school life, but then she decides to during days to become a prostitute, and she goes around like sleeping with men in like hotel rooms and just earning money. And even that girl was very, very beautiful. So it did, but that was like the only like passing connection, you know, like these like very people who aren't exactly doing it for money, you know.
So yes, for fulfilling some desire that they have.
I read an article too in a German magazine about German prostitutes that, well, they do it for the money, but it's not like they made a point about that not being forced to it, and they're more like they don't have someone who controls them or anything. So, and even I think I've mentioned this the show called Secret Diary of a Call Girl.
Yeah.
With Billy Piper, which a lot of people don't like that much, but I really like it. And in that one, she's an escort, and she calls herself Belle du Jour as well.
Ooh.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It is. It's just that said, I think this is such an iconic film. I much about it, but everyone knows Belle du Jour. Oh yeah, Belle du Jour.
Yeah, which is why everyone voted for it.
I guess.
I think we might like end with like the clothes and the look. Like the fact that when she got out of her bath, she still had all her makeup on. It was so.
Yeah.
And when she went to bed all the time, she had her makeup on.
Always.
But she had really, the clothes are very simple and
very classy.
Very high society, classy. Yeah.
They were so beautiful. And her watch, I don't know I have a thing for watches.
Yeah, me too.
She has the most, you can see just a glimpse of it. It was like really classic, like not too small, not too big, just thin and I don't know. I noticed. I want to know more about that watch.
I liked her ring. I would think for a ring.
I liked her underwear because it's I guess it's symbolic as well because it's just white and simple. And the other girls have like more colors and more, I don't know, frills and ruffles.
Yeah.
The girls almost seem trashy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I liked the girl with the long hair. She had this really 60s kind of look.
She did. I loved her golden sweater.
Yeah.
And I always noticed their bras because they're like pointy.
Yeah.
That's so cool. You gotta bring that back.
I think Madonna tried to do that.
It's like, okay, you can totally notice that she's wearing a bra because, I mean, that no one looks like that. But I think it's cool.
Except Madonna. Okay, no.
And Katy Perry.
No, I'm not talking about pointing with like the fireworks. You don't have to go that far. But I'm telling you, it's coming back. One day that will be coming back.
I guess.
I don't live to see that day.
Everything.
Okay. And I also like the shit, I forgot her name again. The lady who runs the place.
Anaïs.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very more modern than Severine, I guess, or less timeless, but I really liked her.
Yeah.
She has
but
a cute...
Too,
yeah, in a way.
Short hair.
But different.
Different style, yes.
Yeah, but she didn't look like what you would expect for the brothel leader, kind of.
No, but that's like, it was supposed to be a
high-end place. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were smart. And, like when the guy asks that thing about the girl, and she said, oh, she's going to school first or finish school first. And it's like, okay, she's going to get an education before she comes here. That's good. Kind of like the motto. of that brothel. So. So yeah, you know, it was really beautiful, and her shoes. I talked about her shoes. I thought they were really beautiful.
The ones in the end, like the last dress of the last shoes, pair of shoes she wears, the entire look in the end. I loved that.
So beautiful. And didn't you like the black coat, the one with
the shiny one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
forget the name of the material, but yes.
I didn't like her hat that much, and the sunglasses. But
I like the sunglasses.
They're really big. But it looked good on her. But I don't like them much either. That's because they would look terrible on me. Yeah, it was just really beautiful. Her face is impeccable. It's like
it's mainly
the profile. She has a perfect nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I looked at pictures of her from other movies, and I think, I mean, she's always very pretty, but she never looked this way again, I think. Like, this is just for this one movie.
From her young other movie, I've seen Repulsion, but Repulsion's like such a crazy movie. And I have seen Umbrellas of Cherbourg, and that she was very, very pretty, but yeah. That's also, like, I think you both of you will like it because you guys like style. And both of you do like musical movies. It got too much for me because every freaking word in that movie is sung. I'm Bollywood, but I can't handle that much music. But, like, otherwise, it's a nice movie, and she's very, very pretty and very sweet in it.
She sings?
Yeah. Everyone sings. They never stop singing.
And in French?
Like Les Miserables?
But Les Miserables still had like a few words in there somewhere.
Really? Spoken. They sing more?
Okay. They're not saying literally everything is sung, nothing is spoken.
Oh.
Yeah, so that got like on my nerves a little bit. If that wasn't there, otherwise it's like a really nice movie. It's very, very pretty, the colors and stuff. So, yeah.
Right.
Okay, anything else?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I've said everything.
Should we rate the movie?
It's a classic. It's like, no.
We could rate it, but watching it with new eyes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, how much would you rate it if you had to rate it?
I would give it. I think I would give it. Yeah, is it 5 or 10?
10.
Then I'd give it 8.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, actually.
I was thinking 8.5, but yeah.
Because it's really good.
Yeah. It's not, it's not like my perfect movie, and there are things which confused me, but like I liked it overall, and I really liked her.
Yeah. So it's not one I would rewatch that often, I guess.
No, I don't think I will. But I really liked it. But I don't think I will watch it again.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it for our episode today. I hope you guys liked our discussion. Any plugs, you guys?
I have one, which is, I kind of found it coincidentally, and it's like a poem, but it's more, I don't know if it's a post or a poem, but it's by from the blog Kid in the Front Row, which is kidinthefrontrow.com. And he did this really neat kind of thing on making art, and it's really cool.
Okay, cool. I don't have any plugs either. So I am Nick, and you can find my blog at beingnormalgene.blogspot.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at nickhut_z.
I'm Sophia. You can find me at filmflare.pt or on Twitter under filmflareblog.
I'm Meta, and you can find my blog at limereviews.blogspot.com, and I'm on Twitter at Meta Kowalski.
You can listen to this episode on any of our blogs or on our Stitcher Radio page, the link of which is on our blogs. You can also download and listen to it from iTunes. Please give us your feedback on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/acrosstheuniversepodcast, or send us an email at acrosstheuniversepodcast@gmail.com. Next time, we will this time watch Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and we'll just see how phase two of the Avengers continues. So, yeah. Bye!
Bye!
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass, they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me. Jai Guru. Nothing's gonna change.